Welcome. We are
Voice You.
Find your voice, celebrate and explore what it means to be heard. We're your hosts, Kate Faust
and Jesse Drifter Shapeshifter Nelson.
And we're here to hold conversations with folks from all backgrounds about their journey with authenticity and vulnerability on the quest for empowerment.
Oh, and they're going to be serenading us too. Tune in for laughter, beautiful truth, and heartfelt listening each week.
Hello, hello, beautiful Voice You fam. We are back with a little transmission. Again, it's been a while. Jesse and I have been, you know, our life has happened with us. So, but we did this really cool little podcast together on Instagram Live a couple days ago. So I wanted to post it up for you guys to hear the conversation. I think the beauty of us, like, having this sort of, like, space between these moments together is that there's so much growth and there's so much that has been absorbed by both of us, and so I'm really excited to share that with you guys. Yeah, there's like a lot of juicy stuff coming up. Solstice was yesterday. I'm recording this on June 22nd. Weird thing happened to me too this morning. I was like doing my makeup and I got like a robocall, and I was like, okay. I looked down and the number said 206. 206, first of all, is an important number. One of my soul brothers, shout out, his name's Alpha. One of my soul brothers, that's like his number. It's part of the numbers of his birthday, which is the 620. So happy belated birthday, Alpha. But when I awakened, Alpha and I had met, and then we didn't see each other for a long time. We randomly met somewhere. And then I had my spiritual awakening, and I was at a grocery store I don't normally go to, and I got a tap on the shoulder, and I see this person. I see Alpha, who I met randomly one time. We follow each other on Instagram. We never, you know, hung out. We ended up in that grocery store talking for like an hour and a half. And it was like, I realized too that I had seen him in another lifetime. And now a lot of times when I encounter certain soul family, I see the number 206, right? Then I see 288 is another part of the number. Two is just a very important number for me, but 88 is the number I'm born, right? And you guys should also know that the primary way that I get contacted by the universe is through numbers. So numbers are very significant to me. I live in LA. I drive all the time. And I'm not kidding you. I'll be on the highway in a 4-lane, you know, highway, and all four cars in front of me across the highway have the same number. And I'll look it up and look at the meaning and kind of go from there. Usually whatever number I see has, like, it's usually a confirmation of something I'm seeing. There's another person in my life where every time I'm with her or doing work around her, I see the number 822. I'll see it on my valet card. I'll see it. I'll look up and see it like across the highway. I'll look up and see like a mile marker at a certain time. I'll look down and see, you know, I don't know, anything with 822. So numbers are really important to me. So far I had 206 from this number, this phone number, then 288, which I'm born on December 2nd, so 2 of 1988. Then it has 4400, 4400. 44 we know is angel numbers, and 00 you know is God number. 0 is the omega, it's the all, it's the God number. So I get this robocall while I'm listening to this talk about multidimensional reality and multiverses and different, you know, versions of reality colliding and things like that. And I'm thinking, but it's got to be a robocall. I get them all the time, so I just don't pick up. And usually robocalls, they don't leave voicemails. Well, this robocall did leave a voicemail, and literally all it says is thank you. I got chills. Like, it just says thank you. This call, this 206-288-4400. I mean, maybe I'll call it back, but I don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, it was probably just a spam call, but like the way that it orchestrated itself was just so specific. And I was just like, oh my God. So I feel like I'm being communicated with by my soul family. I also just saw a vision of my future child two nights ago. It was the day that I did this transmission that we're about to listen to. I was in a Kundalini class in a gong yoga that night. And I lay down, we're doing the yoga, the meditation. She's playing the gong and I'm like, you know, just blissed out. Right. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to astral travel. I'm going to get up and just walk to the right hand corner of the room. So I get up to go walk to the corner of the room, you know, astral walk. And then all of a sudden I see myself and I'm pregnant with my son, which, mind you, I don't have children. I'm not in a relationship. These are just beings that I've seen that are, you know, part of me already. And I realize there's a little girl holding my hand. She's just like a little honey drop. She's got like honey colored skin and her hair is all curly. And I look at her and I'm like, she's like, mommy. And I'm like, oh, I did not just walk to the other side of the room. I walked somewhere else. And I'm wondering if there's like a future dimension of me already, you know, there's like a dimension again, because there's no future. I'm like, wow, I wonder if my like future self just had a moment of lapse with I feel like we were outside somewhere, but she was just like, mommy, she said, don't leave me again. She was very like adamant. And I was like, had this feeling of like, I've seen my future son in a vision before, and he felt different. He felt more otherworldly. She feels very human to me and very like, we've been working some shit out for a while on a soul level. So I was like, oh, wow. And she told me her name. And I was like, okay. She was like, don't leave me again. I was like, I won't leave you. I promise. But I was like, I need some time to get to you. I'm getting there. You know, we'll get there. And it's so funny. And this is how silly this stuff is and so amazing. Like, I was thinking about it last night as I was driving home from work. I was thinking about her and I was like, that's so strange that I like can see my babies, but I don't know who their father is. And like, I'm not, even when I do meet that person, I don't, like, I need some time. Okay. Time. But then I was thinking that, and I drove past I drove past, there was a car parked on the road that had on the license plate, it said Who Da Dad. And I was like, it's like W-U, like a W-U, Who D-A Da, and then Dad. And I was like, universe, you're so funny. Like, it's a reflective, I'm seeing a hummingbird right now. Oh my God, I'm not even kidding you. I just looked out my window and saw you guys, holy shit. Okay. I'm going to just leave you with this transition now, and I'm going to impart to you what my beautiful friend Kat said to me last night, because I was like, lots of things are moving in my life, and I know certain things, but I don't see how they're all fitting together yet. And she goes, she's passing along a quote that a friend gave her, which was, if you know already, then why don't you be grateful instead of being worried? Well, please enjoy this beautiful conversation I had with one of my best friends and the co-host of the show, Jesse Drifter Shapeshifter. Follow him at Drifter Shapeshifter. Follow me at I Am Kate Faust, and be on the lookout for my new podcast, The Sound Spirit, where I just talk more about what I know as a channel, a medium, and as a musician, because I believe music is the one of the natural phenomenal languages of the divine matrix. So with that, enjoy. This is what her face looks like. So you add send a request to be in your video.
Oh, I did.
Okay, here I go. Oh, you already are in my video.
Oh my god, yay.
Wait, I don't think you have to add.
Oh my god, yay. Video. I don't know.
This is so okay. Meta. You can start your own life.
I don't even know what this means. Okay, and here I am. Okay,
oh,
I'm being silly because I'm like trying
guys,
to like pose my camera,
but
that's not
how's your energy
works.
Feeling today? Does anybody want to respond? I'm going to start with and say moist. How does your energy feel today?
Moist.
Mine's moist. Moist. What about you? Is anybody going to respond? Want to care
to weigh in? Hopefully equally, if not more moist.
Oh, thank you. That's a song called In Bloom. If y'all like the song In Bloom, that's my
oh my god.
One of the songs from my EP called Eros.
You all don't who
awesome.
Said that? Do you know how much I love that song? We're right here.
Bala Mandela, you're one of my favorite producers and songwriters. I loved being at your show. Thank you so much for being in our live right now.
Thank you for joining.
You're so great. I love your energy and your spirit, and I felt blessed to like hear your music. And I've been stalking you for a long time. I've been stalking you for a long, long time. Yeah. And it's still good. I stalk a lot of people on Instagram. Even people that, like, and I never even really heard your music, but I was like, I just know it's going to be good. I just get, I put my energy feelers out, and I just knew.
She gets a tickle.
I knew you had the right energy, so I was just like, let's see what it do. And then you put out music, and I was like, this shit's amazing. No, seriously, like, I need you guys to go to Spotify, and he has a song called Unconditional. Cosmic conversations from out there into this life. I can really feel it, how it really is. All you ever wanted was me to see through your eyes into your dimension, how it really is. Isn't that so beautiful?
That's so beautiful. Oh, that's so
cosmic
lovely.
Conversations
I can't wait to listen to that.
From out there into this life.
Ooh.
Bro, that's how I feel about, like, that's how I feel about so many people in my soul family. I feel like we're having a conversation, we're picking up a conversation from another lifetime. And it, you know, I feel like I've been really having the knowledge, or having being a medium and being able to see what happens and how people come together lifetime after lifetime is just so profound to me. I was telling you earlier, I saw a past life a couple weeks ago. I was a man and I saw my wife in this past life and I recognized him in the vision. I was like, that's my dad. It's the same energy. We weren't like deeply in love in that life, but I loved that person deeply as my family. I recognized them as my family. And yeah, that was my wife. That was the father of my son in that lifetime. And now he's my dad in this lifetime. Like, how cool is that? Like, our two souls were like, I'm just gonna keep being your family. I'm gonna try to be your, I'm gonna be your wife, I'm gonna be your dad, I'm gonna be your baby, I'm gonna be your cousin, I'm gonna be your best friend. Like, let's try out all these different, let's play some roles together and let's learn from each other. And let's have this cosmic dance from out there and bring it into this life and into that life. And like, it's just so profound. And it's just, yeah, thank you for putting that into words, like into music. And thank you just for your beautiful work that you do. So
I'm excited to check it out.
Oh my God, I can't believe I haven't showed it to you yet. It's so moist. You're going to be so moist when you see it. So we're doing a new episode of Voice U right now, which is our podcast. So we're doing it on the live. We're recording it right now, which is why we're talking into these things.
You know, doesn't this look official? Look at this. Headphones.
I know, we don't have like mic stands. We
pee filters.
I called them pee filters. They're
on a previous
not,
episode, she did.
They're pop filters, but I always called them...
pee protectors?
Pee protectors.
That's what it was.
Everyone thought I was referring to a condom.
That's what it sounds like.
And condoms are also pee protectors in a different way. But anyway, continue. So just think about it. Just think about it.
Okay.
All right.
Double entendre.
Yeah.
Entendre.
Triple cat. You know. Cat daddy?
Wow, is that your
There's
real name?
There's a cat daddy in here?
Is that your real name?
Oh my god. Cat daddy?
I need to see your driver's license.
How many cats do you have? Okay. Can I be your cat mommy to your cat daddy?
Ooh.
Is your cat nice? Is it fat? Does it like to be held?
Ooh.
This is sounding weird now.
This is getting juicy.
Let's change the subject.
So I'm just so moist in terms of what I want to talk about today, just because it's like, it's all just like bing, boom, bah. And I'm going to kind of translate, bear with me. So I also do, we're both spiritual workers. And the realm in which I work is tarot and astrology readings. So I'm going to be connecting a lot of this to the astrology that's going on right now. Some of the amazing stuff. A lot of what I've learned from fellow astrologer and intuitive channel Molly McCord. Some of the wisdom that she's passed on that I've been able to collect from her podcast that she does. You should all be listening to it. It's amazing. Anyway, so yeah, so this is very Gemini right now. We're coming to the end of Gemini season. So I feel like that's one of the things that's making this conversation very spicy. There's just so many ideas and so much that we want to express. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about today is something that we've been talking so deeply about, which is this conversation between divine masculine and divine feminine right now. Like, can we just say?
Oh my God.
Can we just say?
Wow.
We
There's a lot that
it.
Can be said and has been said between Jesse and I about this. Please, you're on a roll. You're on fire. Keep going.
I'm like, girl, I'm just getting started.
Keep going.
Oh.
Hey,
hey. I'm on a roll. That on a roll, by the way, if anyone watches Black Mirror, that was an Ashley O reference from the season finale of Black Mirror. I'm on a roll. It's okay. Anyway, so divine masculine, divine feminine. So the moon's nodes. So a lot of what we're looking at when we're talking about in your natal chart, you have a north node and a south node. South node represents kind of what you're coming from in terms of past lives, lessons you've acquired,
karma.
You know, it can be seen as like a vacuum of character traits and personality traits that you can get sucked back into. But the trick is, and the lesson is to not do that, and is to keep moving forward into the north node. So I have an Aquarius north node. I am Kate Faust here has a Pisces north node.
I'm turning into a Pisces in this lifetime. It's working.
She is.
That's why every time I meet Pisces, I'm like, am I in love with you?
Yes. If you're a Pisces watching this and you're like, is Kate in love with me?
Yes.
The answer is
yes.
Unabashedly yes.
So like, if that's not okay, just tell me now. Put me down easy.
But yeah, so the moon's nodes shifted only in the last few months. So right now our north node is Cancer.
Mm-hmm, very watery.
Divine feminine, the mother.
The mother.
And the south node is Capricorn, the father. So we're going deep. We're talking
My mom's a Capricorn and my dad's a Scorpio. He's a water. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, I have a mom, dad, and a dad mom. And I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Continue. That just really hit me.
No, and I love it because this is with the Gemini energy. I was saying it's going to be like bing, boom, bing. Because I feel like there's these ways where what I'm saying is going to be connecting all the way back to so much of what we've been talking about. Like Kate and I have actually been having this conversation all day. We want to share it with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at that, the Cancer north node and the Capricorn south node, what we're also looking at, and with divine masculine, divine feminine, of course, is our parents. We're healing inner child stuff. We're healing parental stuff. Yeah, sorry. She's learning this live. That was a live reaction, guys.
Wow. No, like my inner child came into our conversation.
She did.
like earlier today, and it was really it was beautiful, but wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's right on time. That's so much of what we're working through right now. So if that stuff is coming up for you guys, childhood pain, trauma, things that need to be brought up to the surface to be released, right now is the time. In so many ways. And again, what I love about astrology is there's these ways where it can reflect and reaffirm through different transits what the work is. So with the Cancer North Node, Capricorn South Node, we also have all this stuff coming up. We have the Sun getting ready to move into Cancer. We have Mercury in Cancer, Mars in Cancer.
So wet.
You know? And
that
then
is a waterfall of dripping wetness.
Like, and it's all sitting there with the North Node. And then we have Saturn and Pluto sitting with the South Node in Capricorn. So again, there's these ways. And I know you guys are seeing it play out on the world stage. But what we're really looking at is this divine feminine demanding its rightful place in society, the place that has been rejected and repressed for so long. What, like, it's the astrology is literally ripe.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We were having this conversation because I got in a like a little argument with my friend. His birthday today, Alpha. Happy birthday,
Alpha. I didn't know that. Happy birthday.
Yeah, he's a Gemini. Oh. Which is why we argue a lot. Love you. Can't stand you.
But love you.
But I love you. But I fucking can't stand you. Just let me be right. That's how this works.
Oh, the Virgo moon. It comes out.
I know.
Oh, God. I'm always right.
I had a lot of earth placements. But I was saying, I was like, I don't feel that men and women are equal. I think that women, we're different.
Different.
We'll say different.
Different.
And I feel at ease with men who are ready to humble themselves to femininity. You know, because women in a patriarchal society, we learn masculinity, toxic masculinity, like yes. masculinity. Our notions of God are always introduced to us as men, so we learn divine masculinity. So there's not really a space to learn divine femininity in the culture as it is. Women already embody femininity, toxic femininity, and you know, divine femininity. And we're also portals. We have wombs. You know, we have vaginas. Like, we're a portal to another world. We bring life from the spirit world. We birth you. And I just, like, give us some fucking respect. Like, I'm not even here to have the equality conversation. Bow down. That's how I had to come to know my divine feminine. I had to bow to that force within me. I had to stop rejecting my womb and my feminine body and acting like it was an inconvenience because it made me more emotional, because it gives me pain, because it makes me vulnerable, because, you know, it's so close and clear, it's so immediate femininity, and it's so still, and it just beckons you. It doesn't approach you and ask, like, it just is. It's like, what you got? Yeah. You know, I had to do that within myself. Yeah. So for me, when men are in a space of understanding that the way they can be easeful in this life is to serve that within themselves and within, particularly within the living embodiment of it, to be in service and to create a safe container, that's where their masculinity becomes divine. That's where they learn their true strength. In their giving, in their accommodating, in their protecting, in their allowing. For me, that's what I've experienced. You know? So, and that's what I see too, like, in some of the relationships between divine and masculine and divine feminine that I love embodied. Is that sense of understanding. So yeah, there's lots of things that go into it, but and I don't know. I want to know, how's the divine feminine register for you? I know you have like a deep connection to that spiritually.
Deep.
I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think one of the reasons it's coming up, as we all know, is just like the divine feminine's place, has just, and I listened to a really interesting transmission. So we were talking about what would you call him? We're talking about a facilitator named Steve Noble, who does some really amazing meditations and transmissions, and was kind of telling the story going back to ancient Lemuria, where starting with the destruction of societies like Lemuria, Atlantis, how divine feminine energy kind of fell apart. It wasn't like a light switch. There were these ways where divine feminine energy was just becoming more and more repressed. And now's the time for that energy to make its return, because it's been gone for too long.
Yeah, and again, I think women having power isn't what this even means. It's deeper than this. Mm. It's every being having an understanding and recognizing the power of the divine feminine within them.
Exactly.
This is what's shifting the planet, the consciousness of the planet.
And it's being echoed over again, like I said, with the North Node and the South Node, with the particular planets playing this out with. We're entering the age of Aquarius now, which is all about revolution, rebellion, the next big thing, the progress, the burning down the shit that isn't working anymore to make room for what
that
needs
gave me chills.
To be built.
That gave
this
me
is the
chills.
Time.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you for that. Absolutely. I received that. Ooh, that gave me chills.
You know, you feel it though. And one of the reasons this, and I love it because this has been, obviously we're dealing with this in the cosmic consciousness. Like we're holding this. We're having this conversation with ourselves, with other people, with each other. Mm-hmm. Like this is a conversation we're having. But one of the things, it was like a light switch. I received this message. And I think it's the sort of thing, we have this all the time where you know there's like something and you're trying to, we're writers, we're musicians, we're singers, we're performers. I mean, we literally have this podcast called Voice You. So it's like getting to saying what we need to say and just saying it in the most precise way is super important to us. So I'd had this feeling, this feeling, and I just was trying to get the words for it, and it only came to me in the last couple of days, and it was about the way in relationships, control and domination is such a part of relationships. And
wow.
It almost comes down to this thing, and it's, and carrying divine feminine, you know, like I have a lot of divine feminine placements. I've always felt very connected to like soft, warm, receptive divine feminine energy. And it sucks because, and it was always constantly weaponized against me, and I didn't understand why. And the way that hits you, it's too real. And the way that divine masculine has been so toxic and gross for I don't even want to call it divine masculine because it's not divine.
It hasn't been divine. Yeah.
It's been toxic.
Toxic masculinity is different. Divine masculinity is divine.
Is divine. And it's balanced and it's kind
it's
and it's
so
caring and
yummy.
It's compassionate mm-hmm. and it's thoughtful. And the way that it's been toxic and realizing that so many of our relationships, whether we're talking about family, friends, lovers, cohorts, boss, client, you know what I mean? All these ways where basically it's like, well, one of us has to dominate.
So this is how I know that this is my soul, homie. Because literally, if you were watching my stories yesterday, this is so funny. I was thinking about how in relationships, I did that. I haven't been in a relationship like for real since like the beginning of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about relationships a lot. I feel like there's one orbiting me. For whatever reason, I feel like there's one manifesting, but it's a big one, so it might take a while. But like, yeah, I was like, wow, I have always been. So yesterday on my stories, I was saying the three things I hate that when people do to me are judging me, rejecting me, and punishing me.
Mm.
And then I realized that the three things I do all the time, especially in relationships to a male partner, is judge them, reject them, and punish them. That's how I keep. I wrote a poem about this, and I will read it because
please.
I feel like it's. But and I hate doing that. But I always felt that I had to do it because I just didn't feel safe.
Mm.
I never felt safe, and part of it was my own fault. It was like I was choosing people that didn't make me feel safe. But part of it is that you are the first person that can make you feel safe in any kind of situation. Like you have to be secure. So I wasn't secure.
Mm.
And that's me. But I was like the way and I would do it in such a brutal way where it would be so soft and so cutting. And I remember in my last relationship, I mean, I'm mostly loving, but like my partner would do certain things where I knew I couldn't trust him and I would just eviscerate him with my words, or I would just tell him no for something and just watch, like see him crumble and be like, yeah, bitch,
damn.
Don't forget. But I hated that. Like, I was like, this is not love. This is not loving. I don't feel I'm in a relationship with someone I love, and I don't feel I can be loving. Mm. I feel like I have to stop them from harming me.
Mm.
And the only way I can do that is to control them.
Mm.
By letting them constantly know what they're not allowed to do, what they're not allowed to have, that they ain't fucking shit.
Damn.
You know? And I was like, wow, this is a new part of Kate that I don't like. Damn. And I could not stop it. You know, for me, and I'll get real. I mean, on the podcast, I've talked about this before. This was really, really strong for me in my early 20s because, and I've written about this before, I was sexually assaulted. And after that, I really hated men.
Mm.
And so the constant thing with men was, like, I want you near me because I don't... At that point, I was like, I'm so broken. I don't want to be alone. But damn. I fucking hate you, and don't forget it. You ain't shit. You look like the person that almost killed me. You look like the person that violated me. You have the same capacity. You could do it. Like, it was just this feeling all the time. And I feel like I moved past that, the physical, and I don't hate men anymore.
Mm.
But I realized that I chose men that I just didn't trust.
Damn.
Because I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself. I'm punishing him for not giving me what I have never given myself. Wow. And that's not fair. And I had to really, and I was like, and you know, after we broke up, I was like, I was an angel in our relationship. I did nothing but love him. And he cheated on me. I'll tell you. He didn't cheat on me because he was in love with someone else. He cheated on me because he wasn't happy.
Mm.
He wasn't happy because we were not a good match for a lot of reasons. But he also wasn't happy because at the end of the day, he kind of always knew that I was going to always say, you ain't shit in one way, shape, or another. And you can't do that to a man. Men need to feel like they're the shit. Specifically, like that's not a bad thing. I used to always hate on men for that. Like, I got to stroke your ego or whatever. Yeah, you do. You have to stroke a man's ego sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm a human. I need that too.
You like
why,
that too,
why
girl.
Why am I punishing someone for being a human?
Right.
And for needing things that I also need.
Right.
Right?
And so, why would you want to be with someone whose narrative that you have is that they're not shit? Why would you wanna,
I know.
That's...
Well... See, well, these are all questions that I have been answering alone. I'm doing the work. Okay?
Doing the work.
I'm not here to
hashtag
say I'm an angel.
Doing the work. Okay.
Okay, but I definitely, like, I haven't had a relationship since I've had my spiritual awakening.
Mm.
So I don't even know what I would be like in a relationship now versus my other relationships because it's so different.
Mm.
So this is a poem I wrote. It's called I'd Like to Learn.
Oof.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm already moist.
Okay, so it says, it must seem that I like to be the one with the leash, but I don't like it. The reason I thought I needed the leash was because I was walking with someone that I never trusted to stay at my side.
Hmm.
I'd like to give up the leash. I'd like to say no to the ones who need a collar on their neck to make them stay.
Mm.
I'd like to give up the struggle.
Ooh.
Look, we're taught the masculine, feminine, the war, who has control, who's going to... Who's
you dominating
know,
who?
Whose childhood wounds are we dealing with? Whose inner child is having a tantrum today? You know, I'd like to say no to the masks because I can't fix your mom and I can't make your daddy stay.
Fuck.
I'd like to learn what I actually desire instead of just managing these big feelings.
Wow.
To bask in the tenderness of letting you go, to bathe in the wonder of watching you return each day. Not because you're under my spell, not because I know you'll never leave me. Not because I know I only have so many years left to get pregnant. I'd like to forget what I know. I'd like to learn who I can become when it's me that's loving you.
Mm.
Like, that is actually like a good reason to be in a relationship. It's like, I'd like to learn what this can actually look like with two people actually showing up with a desire to be generous with each other instead of waiting, like, to defend the next wound or to evade the next blow. And I feel like that's where the masculine feminine is. It's like, you're gonna hurt me, so let me put this out first and let me just let you know that you can't hurt me because you ain't shit.
Oh, and by the way, I'm ready to hurt you. I've already got my arsenal's full. It's
and by the way,
weapons.
When you hurt me though,
I'll kill you.
Like, kill you, you know, it's just, but it's very, it's, It's a lot. And yeah. I think it's a beautiful conversation. And then it spreads out at the intersectionality of queerness.
Yeah.
At the intersectionality of racism, colonialism, like
capitalism,
gender norms. Like, it spreads out through how we interact with each other, how we get close to each other, and what wounds are interacting with what. But it's like something that I really think about often.
Yeah. Me too. And I don't think I had the language for it. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful poem. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, and it's interesting because I've been realizing it so much, and not even in, and again, like, yeah, I'm not in a relationship right now either, but it's something I noticed even with crushes or even with like,
mom and dad,
you know,
I'll say it,
you know,
I'll say it,
you know,
I'm going to say it.
Talk about it.
It was just Father's Day, y'all.
It was. I hope you all had a good one.
But I mean, and then it was Mother's Day. And for everybody posting about their mom and their dad, there was everybody posting about, sorry if you didn't have a mom or a dad that really you could celebrate on this day. Yeah. Like, we all bring wounds to the table.
Yes.
And our parents have wounded us in the way they've been wounded. And again, it all travels out. But at the core of it, like you're saying, at the core of these wounds is this, very much like this spiritual energetic battle between a masculine and feminine sensibility of how to show up in the world, how to be available to actually relate to other people.
Yes.
Did I cut you off? I didn't mean to.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, yeah, I was just realizing in all kinds of relationships, whether it's with like coworkers or, you know, not things that aren't even necessarily romantic or, but there's this way where it's almost like, everyone does it, and it's like it's this thing that's happening that so many of us don't talk about, is the way that control and domination just pervades relationships, rather than this idea of like, let's just like actually care about each other and like respect each other's journey and show up for each other, you know, like just. And I don't know why that is such a monumental concept, but it was just hitting me how much domination has just been such a part of
reality. You know. It's funny because I heard somebody say that the way you view your parents is the way you view God or universe or whatever your higher power is, right?
Wow.
So if your parents are punishing you, then you know. And so, but what has been our concept of God in the West?
Totally.
Punishment, judgment, domination.
From a man.
Literally. Yeah. The and then that has been capitulated out into domination of people and lands.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was domination used as justification.
Has been the way, been the way that we've been shown that God understands the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, and so that is shattering. And so with that has to shatter all these other things.
Yes.
But wow, this is such a, I'm so glad you brought this to the table. I'm so grateful for you. Because I think about that often. It's a lack of trust. Like, when you can't trust other people to be who they are or to show up, then you have to control.
Yes.
When you can't trust your life and the flow of your life, then you try to control it. When you don't trust that God or universe or consciousness is working on your behalf, then everything has to be fearful and a struggle. And I am like, low-key, like, that was my whole existence. And it's no wonder that I grew up in going to Catholic school. Shame, blame.
Shame central. Shame, blame, guilt, fear. That's
like,
what I call it.
It's a deep-seated knowing in my body what that emotion feels like.
Mm.
And then that leads us to this next sort of then paradigm, which what you're saying, so this, which is what I've been exploring, and what you're saying so beautifully kind of moves into, is like when we move beyond that battle and that domination and that need to control and manage the big, ugly feelings and the wounds, then we get to kind of start to be curious about what we actually desire.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, like, what do you actually want? For the sake of your own heart, for the sake of your own body and your own life. What actually makes your toes curl? What actually makes you bubble up with laughter and smile? Instead of what's triggering you or causing a response of a conditioned response in your body of shame, rejection, the need to control, whatever. Like, when you go beyond the I'm managing my life because it's chaotic and I'm I feel I'm at the mercy of life, to I accept this. I don't feel the need to control this. I can interact with this. I have choices. Like, I can't control all of this, but I can control how I interact with this. Let me experiment with that. Mm. And then there's this beautiful just space of, oh my God, you know, I feel like every now and then, and it's happening more and more, I get these glimpses of Kate and I'm just like breathless. Mm. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, this must be you. He was reading my chart and talking about how other people see me. And I was like, this is how other people see me. And I never saw it before. And it's intoxicating. And I'm like, I desire my own suchness, my own beingness. Mm. And I desire to experience the world through that lens. And I don't feel obligated. Like, I unapologetically will do that. Mm. And it's okay if other people don't understand what that requires. Mm. It's okay, you know, if other people judge that. It's okay if other people are still managing their big feelings. They're allowed to do that. That's their process. They don't have to do what I'm doing. It's none of my fucking business. But like, getting to know what you actually want is like a very big, profound thing. Because then you realize what you've been accepting this whole time ain't that.
Mm. I mean, that electrified me when you said that.
It's literally mind-blowing.
Oh.
And it's so simple.
Oh.
But like, think about what you actually want. Like, not what you accept or what people tell you or what you should have or what you think you need or how you think this system works. Fuck it. Fuck that.
Take all
shit.
That off. Take like, all that
that's
off.
That's not you. That was not you. And that's not why you came to have this human experience. And we're in the fucking age of Aquarius. Like, A plus B does not equal C. Donald Trump's the president of the United States. Whatever you thought made sense doesn't fucking make sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't.
Like, it's just things are not meant to work like that. They're meant to be a little more fluid, and the divine feminine invites us to be with that without having to control that so much.
Yes.
But yeah, and the divine feminine is that question. It's that beckoning. That's why I love the piano, because it's just this big, giant, present thing that's like, what you gonna do to me?
Ooh.
What you got? Okay.
What you got?
Do you know how to work this?
Oh.
Because you can just bang on it, and you'll get some sound out of it. But you need some coordination if you want to get music.
Some dexterity.
That's something else. We're talking about something else now. Sorry. Back to the conversation.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, like, so that's been really rocking my world. And it's hard because you have to get to know that in your body.
You do.
This is why I love Kundalini as a spiritual technology, because for many people who are highly sensitive, our nervous systems are just so fucking out of whack.
Fried all the time.
Fried.
Perma-fried.
Because we are just experiencing life so much more intensely. So our bodies, and we need more sleep. Like, we're literally just, we're a lot, it's a lot going on for us.
And then even also on top of that, trying to explain that to people who aren't that way is like its own sort of thing, which we were talking about earlier.
Again,
trying to like, having to be like, okay, so like, I know you didn't perceive this, but I actually just watched this happen and felt that and saw this interaction, and that other person's like, huh? Not in a bad
and
way.
Then,
it's
and
just
that's,
different.
It's for, and then for that, but for that to be okay too, as a sensitive person, to know that like, they didn't catch that and they're never going to,
and
that's
okay.
That's not a judgment. They're not, it's not a better or worse.
Right.
But it's my responsibility to care for myself.
Yes.
Because they didn't see it. That's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, oh, it's so exciting. And it's so exciting to me to think of more and more people manifesting their life from a place of authenticity and joy and allowance. What a beautiful world can be constructed from that place. Yes. You know, these paradigms, these structures, they're falling, and they need to fall.
Again, and that's in the astrology, Saturn and Pluto with the South Node. Like,
there's
not no more, honey. Not no more.
And they're to be cradled in the void.
Mm-hmm.
What is the void? Do you want to describe the void? Do you ever think about the void?
I mean, as soon as you said void, guess what I heard? Divine feminine. Mm-hmm. I heard the womb. I heard...
Mm-hmm. It's the void.
That's the void.
So people talk about the void often. I don't know what they think they're talking about, but I actually have a poem for this too.
I don't know what they think they're talking about.
I don't know what everybody thinks of the void. Does anybody think anything about when they think about the void, capital V? So I wrote a poem about this. Can I read it? How's our time? Do you gotta go?
We're good. I have to leave in a little over an hour.
Okay.
So we have time.
Cool. I have to leave soon too.
Okay, cool.
So here's something I wrote about the void. Ready?
Okay, let's do
it. You into it?
I'm so here.
Okay.
For
can we do poem break? Okay.
Yes.
I sat on my kitchen floor, shattered like the fragile dinner plate. Grasping at the shards of ceramic, it becomes apparent that this is not an assortment of puzzle pieces, but rather an arrangement of something new that cannot yet be understood. I have always envisioned a vacuum where the imperceptible sands of those delicate edges are suspended like gemstones on an invisible chain. When the void stares back at us, this is what we see. The fineness with which we are altered, the brutal simplicity of utter change, the absoluteness of never being put back together again.
Damn.
Like, if you shatter a dinner plate on the floor and you try and glue that shit back together, it is...
Never.
There's parts of it that just go into dust. You cannot put it back. Things are not supposed to be put back. They're supposed to be reformed. You know what I'm saying? Recycled. Reimagined. And
that's, again, this is Age of Aquarius, by the way. It's the plate's been destroyed.
Yeah, like, make
and it's
peace
not gonna
with
get
that.
Put back together.
Make peace with that. That maybe it doesn't need to be put back together. Maybe it needs to be realigned into something and restructured. Maybe it needs to be melted down and formed into
something else
with the hands of something greater.
Mm.
That's real.
I love that.
Yeah, like I think about that, like, because people like talk about like how things are. Yeah, there's an art too. There's like a Japanese art when you put like broken things back together, but. I don't usually put broken things back together. They broke. They broke for a reason.
And that is, and
that's all I got.
The cookie crumbled, you know? Can't put the
it's
cookie back
hungry.
Together. You can still eat the cookie.
You can still eat the cookie.
It's just not
and if you're me, you have. But don't eat the shards of dinner plate.
Don't eat the dinner plate.
Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Wow. Do you feel good?
I feel good.
Do you feel complete in this, or what do we want to? What else do you want to say?
I feel like there was another little thing, but I feel like also it feels really complete.
Yeah, I feel complete in this transition or transmission.
Transmission.
This transmission.
What I'm feeling is just my Gemini moon because I could keep going. That's what it is. Did you say transition? Transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so moist. That's the name of this episode.
That's so moist, she said. Why are we like this?
Oh, because we are who we are.
God made us perfectly.
That's why.
All right, guys, we're gonna peace out. Thank you for anybody that watched our live video, and we're recording this, so this will be broadcast for the next episode of Voice U.